I encourage you to take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We are almost done with our study of this particular book, and I'm going to be reading again from the Complete Jewish Bible. This is a translation by Dr. Stern. This was done almost 40 years ago, and it's a very good translation, very conservative, and it touches and brings out some of the Hebrew idioms that are used that give us a little more insight into what Koheleth is sharing with us in this passage. And we're getting into a section, as I mentioned last week, beginning at verse 9, it really should be included with the next chapter, because verse 9 begins a brand new paragraph and it continues on, and it goes all the way to verse 8. And it's a message to young people. A message to young people. Now, if you're here tonight and you're older, I want you to pretend that you're young. All right? Is that okay? Mr. O'Pager, you can pretend. Now, I know it's hard for Dad and Mr. Woods to pretend like that they're young, but you can still do it, right? So we're going to read verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read through verse 8 of chapter 12 as we consider. We're not going to try to do it all tonight because there's 8 lessons, and we're going to get into just a few of them as we come into this last section of the book of Ecclesiastes, beginning at verse 9. Young person, and it's talking about someone who is late teens, early 20s. In the Hebrew, there's a designation for each of the age groups. In the Hebrew language, it's an amazing language. They have a word for infants, newborns. Then they have one for toddlers. Then they have one for younger years. And then you get into the upper teens, and it uses that particular word, upper teens, early 20s, regarding this word young. Young person, if you spend your youth only having fun, if you use your early years just to entertain yourself, if you follow your heart as you live your life, and let your eyes be your guide, understand that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. And we're going to get into that aspect of consequences in life's decisions and choices. Verse 10, therefore, remove anger from your heart and keep from harming your body, for neither adolescence nor youth has any lasting value. In other words, it doesn't last forever. The youth turns to middle age, which turns to old age. Verse 1. So remember your Creator while you are young, before the evil days come, and the years approach when you will say, they no longer give me pleasure. Before the sun and the light grow dim, also the moon and the stars, before the clouds return after the rain, on the day when the guards of the house are trembling and men of courage are bent over double, when the women stop grinding grain because there are so few, when the women at the windows can no longer see out, when the doors to the streets are kept shut, when the noise from the grain mill fades, when a person is startled by the chirp of a bird, yet their singing is hard to hear, when they will be afraid to go up a hill and terrors will stalk the way, even though the almond tree is in bloom, when the locust can only drag itself along and the caperberry has no effect because the person is headed for his eternal home and the mourners are already gathering in the marketplace. Before the silver cord is snapped, the bowl of gold is cracked, the pitcher is shattered at the spring, the pulley is broken at the cistern, the dust returns to earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And we come to verse 8. It seems pointless and meaningless, does it not, saith Koheleth? Nothing seems to matter at all. I find it very interesting. These Hebrew idioms that are used throughout are used to describe the human body in advancing years. Do young people think about their bodies advancing in years? No, we don't. They really have no call to. I mean, when you say, oh, I have arthritis in my hand, they can't identify with that. You remember the day when you didn't have arthritis in your hand, or you didn't have bursitis in your hip, or you didn't have pain in your feet that are caused by plantar fasciitis, or you could hear. We were comparing hearing stories at lunch today. I've reached that age. Mr. Woods leaned over to me. When you're in a crowd like this, does it seem hard to understand? And we were going back and forth on that. I didn't have that conversation when I was a teenager. We weren't talking about hearing. We weren't talking about seeing. We weren't talking about the inability to run because we were young. We were young. But there's lessons here for the young that Qoheleth is bringing out. And we're going to look at four of them tonight. There are eight total. I haven't forgotten how to count. It's coming next, right? Can you remember how to count, Mr. Woods, or did you give up a few years ago? After 90, who's counting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to share with you some thoughts here that are brought out in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 11. And we're going to get into the lessons from chapter 12 about remembering the Creator in the days of our youth. But I want to just touch on verses 9 and 10 tonight in our time together. And I want you to see, first of all, what Qoheleth has to say to the young person. He's older now. Solomon, when he was young, was thrown into leadership without a whole lot of training. If you read 1 and 2 Samuel, you get into the passages whenever he came in the 1 Kings and the 1 Chronicles, you read about this young man who David said of his own son is soft and tender. He's not experienced. So David pulls him aside, and there are several chapters devoted to David teaching his son about being a king. Now Solomon had grown up in the court of women. We're told that in the Scripture. That's where he spent most of his time. He didn't spend a lot of time with his dad out in the military field. He was in the court of women. Life was easy. He didn't have to work with his hands. Everything was provided for him. Some servant came in, made his bed each day. Wouldn't that be nice, Carson? Donnie come in and help you make your bed in the morning? No? Donnie wouldn't do that, would you? You just have to do your own. Yeah, you think about having a servant come in and do that for you when you're a child. And then you go sit down at the table and there's this massive number of people there. And you didn't have to plan the menu. You didn't have to fix your food. It was provided to you all day long whenever you wanted to eat because you were the king's son. Now all of a sudden, you're the king. And you got to figure out things on your own. That's a quite different thing. Well, there's some things that Solomon learned. He made a lot of mistakes too. And he learned from those, and he shares some of these in these eight lessons to young people. Number one, I want you to see from verse 9. Actions bring, everybody say it please, consequences. Actions bring consequences that extend, now listen to me, this is important, that extend even to eternity. You realize when we stand in the presence of God that the Bible says every idle word shall be brought to account. That's actions in life having consequences in eternity. You come to those passages of Scripture that talk about how our gold and silver will be tried in the fire. And those things which are wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. We see that actions in life have consequences in eternity. Now, some people struggle with that. That's a major problem for them. Oh, well, we shouldn't have to deal with all that kind of stuff. That was dealt with on the cross. But God says in His Word that our works go with us. It's interesting, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 12, talks about the righteous who die and their works do what? Follow them. Their works follow them all the way into eternity. So this is a lesson for us all, and it goes all the way back to the Old Testament where Koheleth says to young people, actions have consequences. Notice this, please. In verse 9, young person, if, that's a conditional if, you spend your youth only, in other words, the focus of your life is having fun. If you use your early years just to entertain yourself, if you follow your heart, oh, we hear that all the time on Hallmark. Just follow your heart. Wind calls the heart last Sunday. I like watching the show. But sometimes you get false philosophy, even on Hallmark. And three times in the one-hour program, it says, honey, all you need to do is just follow your heart. That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Except for the fact the Bible has something to say about that. It says here in this passage of Scripture, if you follow your heart as you live your life and let your eyes be your guide, understand that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So be careful. Your actions have eternal consequences. Lesson for young and old. Oh, yeah. My goodness. How we need to weigh things before we do things. Hold on. Let's look at this first. Before we say yes, 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 let's look at this. What's the consequences of this down the road? What's the consequences? There's a lot of unintended consequences that happen from actions. What's an unintended consequence? At the time you made your decision, you may have thought about consequences, but you didn't consider unintended consequences. Negative effects that might come to others because of your choices. Young people, make sure. Can I tell you a quick story? When my wife and I first got married, we got married in July of 1992. A few months, her birthday's coming up in October, and I just went out and I bought a bunch of clothes for her. And I brought them, and I just, on her birthday, she came walking in. I had all these clothes that I bought, and she started crying. And I said, oh, tears of joy. How wonderful. How wonderful. But it wasn't tears of joy. The next question, what were you doing? We can't afford this. We're taking it all back. Now, I learned a lesson, right? We don't need to buy a whole wardrobe. And by the way, my selections weren't too good. So I learned a lesson. Let her buy her own wardrobe. You stick with yours. And I found out later, let her buy my wardrobe too. Because my choices weren't that good. I'm terrible at that. Now, Adam Watt, he's perfect at it. The shopper galore, isn't that right? He gets it right. There are some of us like me. Anybody else like me that just cannot buy things? Thank you, gentlemen. The oldest two guys in the place. All right. Amen. Nobody else raised their hand. So I know that there's something wrong with you and God right now that you can get away with not raising your hand here. Now, Ben should have shot his hand up. Man, I'm perfect at buying stuff, right? He's the only one. He's the only one. By the way, I heard a joke from Mr. Ken about single guys. There was a single guy who was with a group of men, and he said, I just want you to know I'm smarter than all of you. Every one of you here right here, I'm smarter than you are. And one of the guys who had an engineering degree spoke up and said, how in the world are you smarter than I am? And the guy leaned over and said, are you married? Yeah. Are you married? Yeah. Are you married? Yeah. Went through the whole group. He said, I'm not married. That proves I'm the smartest guy in the room. All right? So that's Ben. Remember that joke whenever you're out there. But anyway, think about this. There's consequences in my choices. That was a lesson from the wisest man that ever lived. Be careful. Be careful. Don't just act. Think about consequences and unintended consequences. Let's go on. Here's another one. Don't allow anger and hate to define your life. Now, this is powerful. And what Koheleth has to say to the young person here, notice this, please. Therefore, remove anger from your heart. Remove anger from your heart. This is so important to allow this to do. There are some people that are just angry and hateful. What does Kohelet say? Remove it from your heart. Remove it. There are some things that we can do, and that's one of them. If it was impossible to remove hate from our heart and anger from our heart, then why would God include it in His Word? You have, Christian, the power of God's Holy Spirit to overcome the weaknesses. I've had to counsel young people over the years in this school. I've counseled people that had hatred and bitterness in their heart towards someone that had hurt them in some way, and it defined their life. They made choices and decisions based around their hatred for this particular person. That's a definition of life. If you're going to alter your life, you see that person coming and you alter your direction to go away from them because you don't want to see them. Or they call you on the phone and you hang up on them. What is it doing? It's defining your life. Be careful, young person. Do not allow anger and hate to define your life. Anger and hate, what causes that? Most times, it's emotional hurt. Emotional hurt. We can all go back in years and find emotional hurt. That's just growing up. You find it all the time. I can remember walking out in my grandmother's yard looking for my dog. Nubby was the name, solid black dog. I was a young kid at the time, and I couldn't find Nubby. And I went and got Dad, and I said, Dad, I can't find Nubby. He said, go look under Granny's house. So I went and looked under Granny's house. Dog wasn't there. I walk around to the front, and I look out in the street, and there was Nubby, dead. My first experience with something I loved, that dog, was dead. He was missing the whole bottom half of his jaw. Was gone. Crushed out in the street. Dad very kindly said, I'll take care of it, son, after I went back and told him that Nubby was dead. And he went out there and took the dog, and we went and buried the dog. And Dad, you know, he gave me a lesson, said, this is what happens. What did that dog do, Todd? He got out of the yard. Got out of the yard. Number two, he got out into traffic. And he took that and turned it around and he made it a lesson for me. He said, you know why we have fences, Todd? For you and your sister and your brother? To stay in the yard. Mom tells you to stay in the yard, we want you to stay in the yard because we don't want you to get hurt. It was a lesson, and I will never forget that day as long as I live. Fences are good. They're good things. If you have a hole under your fence, what should you do? Fix it as quick as you can. So many stories in the state of Florida. Matter of fact, Governor DeSantis signed a bill last fall that the state will now fund the swimming education of children in the state of Florida because we've had so many deaths in our state of kids that did not know how to swim. We've got so much water, it's everywhere. It's a problem. And all it takes is just a gate just partially left open and a child wanders through into the water and drown. That happens. Some people will get bitter and angry about events that happen, and that will define their lives from that point onward. May God help us not to allow that to happen. Number three, I want you to see from this passage, God leaves us. Now listen to me now. God leaves us to the responsibility to choose our perspective on things. Some people have an immediate negative perspective on everything. Some people have this overtly positive thing about everything. Aren't they annoying? Yeah. Both sides are annoying. They can take the most wonderful situation and turn it into the most horrible event, right? I don't like those. They came up with the new French fries at Burger King. I don't like those. Some people are excited because I didn't prep. I don't eat a whole lot of fries, but Burger King fries in the past were terrible. And they changed the formula and changed the french fries. And they didn't taste pretty good, but some people say, I want the old ones back. You remember when Coke came out in the 1980s with New Coke? How long did that last? 6 months. And the company had to go back and change back to the old formula because people weren't buying it. People didn't like the taste. All right? People went negative. Now, sometimes a positive can come by going negative. But then there are those on the other side that everything is positive. And they go to the point where it's almost obnoxious. You know, put a smiley face on everything. Now, understand, what am I saying? I have the ultimate choice in my perspective on life. What's the best choice? The best choice is not to be on the negative side all the time and not to be on the far positive all the time, but be where I'm supposed to be, balanced. Balanced. Are there going to be awful things that happen? Yes. And you deal with those. Are there going to be wonderful things that happen? Yes. But keeping the right perspective is our choice. It's our choice. Some people choose wrongly. Some people, you say, oh no, here they come. They're going to be, you don't ask them how they're feeling. Whatever you do, don't ask them how they're feeling because they'll tell you. And they'll tell you every hurt, every problem, every difficulty, you know. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody was on the super positive side? Walk in, crippled. How you doing? Great! I'm doing great! Wouldn't that be nice? Well, most people, that's not balanced. Obviously, they're in a world of hurt. So we have to learn that in verses 10, God leaves us the responsibility to choose our perspective. Notice this, please. Therefore, remove anger from thy heart and keep from harming your body. For neither adolescence nor youth has any lasting value. My perspective, as I grow up and grow older, changes. Changes. My perspective changes. When I was in middle school, after sixth grade, it hit me. There are girls in my class. Now, I never cared before. But then all of a sudden, in the seventh grade, there were girls in my class, and wow, look at that pretty girl. Where'd she? You just didn't notice her. And then all of a sudden you start liking girls. But then you find they don't like you. So what are you going to do? Shut down life? No, you just grow up and get older. In the ninth grade, I asked my first girl out ever in my life to the awards banquet. And I remember walking down to the dormitory, picking her up, walking her back up here. That we were sweating. It was so hot that evening. And we had sweat all over us, and we made it in. And I had such a wonderful time. My first date. I still have the boutonniere at my mom and dad's house. It's nice and brown now because I didn't know how to preserve them. I should have checked with Megan back in that. Of course, she wasn't born yet at that time. But it's still in there. My first official date. But you know what? I've got something better now. My perspective has changed. I'm married to Beth Louise Brainerd. My life's been transformed and changed. I told Mr. Woods and Brian today, I said, I married up. I didn't marry down, I married up. And I say that because I want to go home tonight and have something. No. Perspective, right? Perspective. All right, very quickly. Wisdom with age, right? Last one, and we're done. Number four. Childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. I look at my dad's pictures whenever he was a child. I've got a whole notebook full of pictures of Dad, and I've got some of Mom whenever they were kids. And when Dad was a kid, they didn't have color film. If they did, it was very expensive. All right? That was before Kodak came out with their cheap color prints and so forth. Everything's in black and white. So you have a tendency to think Dad didn't know any colors until he was, whatever color photography was invented or whatever. But I see him on his bicycle. I saw him riding a horse, seeing with his 1941 Dodge coupe that he drove to college whenever he was at Ohio State. And you look back at all those times, right? Now Dad's 90 years old. Where did the time go, Dad? I don't know either. I'm 61. Where did the time go? I don't feel any different, really. I still have the same mind, I think. Maybe you have a differing opinion. My wife probably has a differing opinion about that. He can't remember anything. But, you really don't change a whole lot internally. You still feel the same, but the body doesn't want to cooperate. You know, whenever you jump out of the car to do something and you jump out, let's not do that so fast next time. Pull something in your back. Things change. Youth is fleeting. Do you think young people need to know that? It's not always going to be youth. There's going to be changes with time. And knowing that it's fleeting will cause you to change your perspective and say, now listen, I need to be careful. I need to be careful. I don't want to harm my body. That's what's said in that verse. I don't want to harm my body. What else did he say there? I want to remove anger from my heart, because neither adolescence nor youth have any lasting value. And the idea is that they don't last forever. They change and morph into something different. So these are just practical things that are shared. We're going to get into chapter 12, Lord willing, in the future. And we're going to be looking at some things. There's a little bit of humor in that passage. I've always laughed at some of the things that are shared there about old age, but I'm not laughing as much as I used to, because they're becoming a reality as we get older. There's so many things young people can learn, and we can share them. What did the Bible say in the book of Titus about older folks and younger folks? The older women are to teach the younger women. The older men are to teach the younger men. These are some of the values that we can share with them. And that's what Koheleth does. He's an older man talking to the younger men and the younger women. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the testimony of this passage. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to grow in the knowledge of the word of God. Oh, how important it is to take to heart the great lessons that are given to us from your word. And I pray that it might strengthen our young people that are present here tonight, that they might understand and know how to live wisely and not to harm their bodies and to not have bitterness in their hearts, but rather have the joy of the Lord that only you can give. Father, we thank you for the truth and testimony of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we give you glory and praise for what we've learned tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.